Well, I think the April elections remain an integral part of implementation of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement. I think it's going to be a very difficult process, but it's a process that one has to get through because it's a step on the road to realizing the vision that is set out in the CPA and the Comprehensive Peace Agreement. But that said, I think that there are many, many, many challenges for a credible, peaceful, and fair election. We had our conference in Accra on preventing election violence in Africa, and we had one of the major case studies be Sudan, along with Ethiopia, Kenya, Liberia, and Uganda. And we were able to really sort of delve into what is necessary to create that fair playing ground and to have elections act as a preventive measure to conflict. And I think that Sudan is far from really being an ideal situation today.
Dr. Fraser, looking at Sudan and its sensitive issues, how should steps be taken by the entire country to ensure a credible vote in the April election?
Well, I think the first problem in terms of a credible vote is the environment in which the vote is taking place, and with the National Congress Party continuing to harass the opposition, with the National Congress Party using security legislation to basically prevent freedom of assembly and freedom of expression. That's part of the problem. It's the political constraining of space that's being undertaken by the National Congress Party that's problematic. Secondly, I think there's huge logistical problems. As you know, it's supposed to be a nationwide election, yet in Darfur, the environment is still one of tremendous insecurities. How can you have sufficient security and safety to permit the voting population in Darfur to cast their ballots? And I think that's problematic. And I do think that the North continues to engage in some divide and conquer tactics in the South as well. So I think that the environment is going to be a very difficult one. As I said, it's going to be a rocky road, but probably one that the country and the people will have to try to traverse to get to the other side.
Dr. Fraser, you've advocated Africans to ensure that elections are managed in a way that there wouldn't be corruption, among other issues. How can that be prevented in Sudan? And do you think the participating political parties are willing to ensure a free post election violence?
Well, I don't think the political parties are willing to do that. That's why I'm saying the National Congress Party is one of those political parties, and I don't think that they are willing to take the chance on the population rejecting al-Bashir. I think that they're going to try to create an environment in which they are sure to win, where al-Bashir has the best chance of winning, despite the fact that he is an indicted war criminal. I think that it's unfortunate that the election is being handled by national authorities rather than the United Nations playing a much stronger role. And I would certainly hope that we learn a lesson from this upcoming election, and that in January, when there's a referendum in the South, that the United Nations can play an increased role to ensure the conditions to have a free and fair election.
Well, among the election issues is the issue of development. Do you think that this upcoming election would have any implication on developmental issues in Sudan?
Well, I do think so. I mean, imagine that Sudan re-elects or elects al-Bashir as the president, and he continues to be indicted by the International Criminal Court. The United States has no choice but to continue to have sanctions against that government. The United States will be constrained in its ability to engage the national government. The question becomes, if Bashir is elected, then do you have some type of inclusive government? Is it now the National Congress Party that controls the North? If that's the case, then the international community will continue to be wary of investing and engaging with that National Congress Party. Right now, we do so because it is at least a government of national unity, with the SPLM giving it some legitimacy. But without that, I think that it's going to be very difficult for the full investment and development to take place. And so, I mean, there are at least 12 different presidential candidates. I think people should think carefully about who they select as their president on the basis of international legitimacy, so that they can have an effective democracy and deliver to the people of Sudan. Sudan.
Well, talking about legitimacy, the National Electoral Commission in Sudan has said that observers, poll observers from the international community as well as local poll observers will help ensure a credible vote. President Bashir has threatened to expel foreign observers for some, like the Carter Institute, saying that it should be postponed for at least 10 days to ensure adequate preparation before the election continues. Now, with all these going on, do you think the election will be credible?
Well, no. Bashir went beyond just saying that he would expel them. He said that he would cut off their fingers and put them under his feet. What does that mean? I mean, how can a man who is standing before the world and before the Sudanese people saying that he wants to be their president threaten violence against international monitors for, the Carter Center simply saying that there may need to be a delay of days or so to get the logistics correct? And he comes out with a statement like that, cut off their fingers and put them underneath his shoes. It's frankly outrageous. So, I don't think the environment is there today for a free and fair election. I think that the monitors will have to play a very important role to try to ensure that the people have at least the best chance for their vote to matter, and hopefully that they can do so in an environment in which there won't be any violence. And I think that that's perhaps the most important thing, is that people not lose their life because they want a right to actually cast their ballot.
Dr. Fraser, some critics have said that the whole election is a sham because the CPA, President Bashir has constantly thwarted full implementation of the CPA, and this basically will give him some form of legitimacy after 24 years without any democratic elections. What is your take?
Yeah, I think that, as I said in the first part, I think that one has to go through this election because it is a part of the CPA. It's been delayed several times. They've done a basic good job in terms of registration. I think it's still very problematic for Darfur. I do think that, we will see how the people vote. I do believe that al-Bashir is trying to manipulate the process so that he can ensure his victory. If he does so and he does win, I don't believe it will change the fact that he is an indicted war criminal. And that's going to undermine the ability for the international community to fully engage in Sudan. And again, I say that the question becomes, if he wins, how is that government, what's the composition of that government? Will it be inclusive or will it just be NEC?
What is your final message to ordinary Sudanese who will be listening to you ahead of the elections?
Well, my message to Sudanese the Sudanese people is mainly that I wish them the best in their upcoming election. I especially will be praying for their safety and their security. I do hope that they exercise their vote with good judgment. And I'm also hopeful that this election will set the stage for the January referendum, in which the people of southern Sudan will have a choice of determining their future as well. I think that from the perspective of a citizen of the United States, it's very clear that the United States has now, there was a statement by the Obama administration that they were going to engage with the ICC. Of course, the Bush administration also did so, but they are making this as if it's a policy shift. And if, in fact, the U.S. is going to increasingly engage with the ICC, then that means that the United States is going to have to take a much tougher stance vis-a-vis the policy and the engagement with al-Bashir. There may be some obligations for the United States to actually help apprehend him as a war criminal.